Okay. There we go. Okay.
Do I go through that again?
No, that's fine.
Oh,
Thank
sorry.
you.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. Also to present are Commissioner Smilage, Gorganian, Rohde, and myself, Beriducci. So the first item, let me get my agenda up here, is application number 22.0113, 22 Thompson Place. And this is continued from the August 12 hearing, and it's regarding installation of new signage at main entrance on existing sign band.
Good evening. Good to see everybody.
Yep.
So this application is for a new tenant at 22 Thompson Place, Halloran, who's taking the place of Force Point in this building. And it's pretty straightforward. We're just replacing the existing sign on that existing sign band with a very similar sign, which is a halo lit set of metal letters, which is also what is there existing. And that is the entire application is just this one sign.
Oh, all right. That's pretty simple. Do the commissioners have any questions or thoughts on this? Looks pretty straightforward to me. I assume this will be all stainless steel letters,
Correct.
and they're not backlit, or are they?
They are halo lit, which is the type of sign which casts the illumination up against the building, not forward. So it creates that silhouette
All right.
illumination effect.
So it'll be against the back of the I-beam there, or if that is an I-beam.
Correct.
All right. I mean, I don't have any problems with it. It seems it's basically replacing what was already there. If the other commissioners have any problems with it,
No,
say so.
no issues.
Otherwise,
Nope.
No issues here, David.
okay.
Good for me.
Great. All right. So I'll just open it up for public comment if we can get that. There we go. So members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press star 9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And I'm going to guess there probably won't be much in the way of questioning. So, in case an email has come through.
I don't see any emails, and no one is raising their hand.
Okay. Well, if somebody would like to make a motion on this, then we can move on.
I'll make a motion to accept the application as presented.
Okay, second.
I'll second it.
All right.
Be gentle.
Commissioner Smilage.
Yes.
Gorganian.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Yep. Next is application 22.0072, 300 A Street. And this is also continued from the August 12 hearing. And the proposed work is at the main roof, demolish one RTU and install three new RTUs.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Gabriel Zavala, with Dyer Brown Architects. And this evening, I have with me a colleague from Dyer Brown. Dan, if you'd just like to introduce yourself.
Hi, Dan Johnson, Senior Project Manager from Dyer Brown Architects.
Okay, and with us from Colliers Red Hatch, is also another member who's actually managing the entire process. Tim, if you'd like to just introduce yourself.
Sure. Tim Betjeman with Colliers International representing Red Hat.
Okay, thank you, Tim. So we're here today actually as a continuation from June on the exterior mechanical work at 300 A Street. So in June, we received approval from the commission to replace four existing rooftop units with two new high efficiency units on steel supported frames. We also had a proposal to remove a fifth rooftop unit, number eight, and replace it with two heat pump units that were to be located on a one-story loading dock overhang. That was not approved. And so commission asked us to restudy this. So our engineering team, primarily our mechanical people, went back, they looked through the building, they investigated the options, and they were able to find a pathway to serve the interior spaces from the roof with two different pieces of equipment, still small. So tonight, we're here to seek approval for the replacement of that rooftop unit number 8 with a new small outside air unit and condenser, but also to be located on that main building roof where we were approved to put the two new high efficiency units. And as a continuation of the energy efficiency upgrade of the building at 300A, we're also seeking approval for two new energy efficient condensers, which will be shown on the plan on slide 17. So just to be clear, we're no longer proposing to place anything on the loading dock roof as was requested back in June. Next slide, please. Yeah, so we'll begin with the roof plans. Okay, so this is the existing conditions roof plan that we had shown previously in June. So on the left of both wings, top and bottom, we see 4 dark red rectangles, and those indicate the units that were previously approved in June for replacement. The bold outline at the upper right, you know, on that horizontal wing, represents the rooftop unit number 8 that we are tonight proposing to remove and replace with the two smaller pieces, the outside air unit and condenser. What's shown in black outlines are existing head houses, ventilation shafts, chimney stacks. We're not touching those. We're not proposing to do anything tonight with those. Next slide, please. So on this is the new roof plan, and it shows the two rooftop units and condensers that were approved in June on the left, one on the top wing and one on the bottom. And their orientation, as we showed and were approved in June, was oriented 90 degrees so that it matches the units that we're not touching. And then on the upper right, we're showing the proposed small outside air unit replacements. So in removing the rooftop unit number 8, we're going to be also removing all the insulated ductwork that's currently on the roof associated with that unit. Next slide. Yeah, so we'll take a closer look at these rooftop units. And the rooftop unit number 8 that's being replaced is highlighted in red. Next slide, please. So this plan shows the previously approved rooftop units with the condensers on the left sitting on the steel supports. And then we're also showing the proposed new outside air unit and condenser on the upper right, again, sitting on a similar supporting steel frame. Next slide, please. So this photo shows the current position of that rooftop unit, which is pretty sizable. That's going to be removed. And also what you see wrapped is the large amount of insulated ductwork that will also be removed as well. Next slide, please. So this shows the plan of the rooftop unit number 8 and the ductwork that's being removed. Next slide, please. So this is a plan view of the new outside air unit and condenser, with the existing rooftop unit number 2 and 4 that are remaining. Next slide. The next two slides are cut sheets of the Mitsubishi replacement units. And I wish the manufacturer had sent us cut sheets that were sort of more oriented towards the view, but they are the two pieces that we're going to be installing. The next slide. And this is the last of the cut sheets of that. Okay. Dan, you want to explain this?
Yes. So this next portion represents the two additional condenser units that we're looking for approval to be added next to the already approved units. This first slide shows the units that have already been approved to be replaced. So these are showing the units on that, what we had previously shown in the upper left and upper lower left-hand corner of the plan. Next slide, please. Again, units 1 and 2 showing what has already been approved previously back in June. Next slide, please. And then on this slide, the new darker blue on the left-hand side of the lighter blue units, those two are what we're looking for approval, which are the new condenser units, which we need in addition to the already approved units. The upper right dark blue is what Gabriel had just gone through explaining for replacement. Next slide, please. Here's just an elevation view showing where those two new units would be placed. Again, they're exactly in line with the already approved units, so there's no difference in profile. Next slide, please. A quick section view of those, the Dunwich platform with the units, same exact design that has already been approved. Next slide, please. And again, a street view showing viewing angles from A Street, indicating, you know, not being able to be seen from that street. Again, showing the units that have already been approved in light blue as well. Next slide, please. And these next few slides just show some pictures that we had taken indicating the mock-up that had been done across the street from the parking lots, showing, you know, your viewing angle. Next slide, please. A zoomed in approach, the arrow pointing to the mock-up, you can just slightly see where those new units would be located. Next slide, please. And then across the channel, the same, the arrows indicating the mock-up on the rooftop. Next slide, please. And this is just indicating the location, showing the mock-up built in the location that has already been approved. Next slide, please. And then another view just looking across on the wing closest to A Street showing the mock-up. Next slide, please. And then these were cut sheets for the original units that have already been approved. The condensing units are the same, just slightly smaller in size. Next, please. And that's it.
Thank you.
Unmute, David.
Okay, so I want to thank you for your efforts in eliminating those condensers on the loading dock roof. That'll be a much improved view from that vantage point now. So it looks like, from what I'm gathering on the presentation, there really is no discernible view of these new units from the street, from the public ways.
No, this building section that Dan showed, This is this building from the sidewalk to the top of the masonry coping. Mm-hmm. It's 90 feet. This is a 6-level building.
Yep.
And we took measurements, and the angle that's shown and the reason for pulling the units so far away from the edge was specifically so that the units are not seen.
Okay, great. No, it's a good effort, and we very much appreciate it. Do the commissioners have any questions or thoughts on the presentation?
You know, my impression was, especially from some of those views from far away from the post office parking lot and the A Street parking lot, was that your eye is only drawn to that one big head house. And everything else is kind of like, what? Is there anything else out there? You know,
that is
really kept it as discreet, I think, as humanly possible, as far as my impression.
Yeah, that's correct. It looks good. I'm happy that we came up with these solutions. Any other thoughts or comments? And if not, we can go to public comments once I get my script up. Here we are. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And no emails, I'm assuming, coming through either, Joe?
No emails, but we do have someone raising their hand. Sarah, if you want.
Oh, okay. Sarah?
Good evening. I just had an overall question in thinking of the smokestack that's on the roof and just wanted to ask if the additional mechanicals that are being added and replaced, how are you preserving the smokestack? What condition is it in? Is it under any particular additional duress with everything that you need on the rooftop?
That's an existing stack that we're not proposing to do anything. It's perfectly structurally viable. It's in good condition, and it's not part of the project of replacement and making the building more energy efficient. Thank you.
That's great. It's an historic element. So thank you for taking care of it.
Sure.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Any other comments that came through?
No other comments.
All right. So can someone then form a motion?
Move to accept the proposal as presented.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
All right. It's a pretty straightforward one. Okay. All right. Commissioner Smilich.
Yes.
Yorganian.
Yes.
Rohde.
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right. Thanks again. We're very happy with this. So
thank you, Ray Mike. Thank you, yep. Ray Mike.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. The next is application 22.0125. This is at 12 Farnsworth Street. Again, another continuation from the August 12th hearing. And it's regarding replace existing loading dock and stairs at the rear of the building at roof, repair two brick head houses, install mechanical equipment, and expand existing mechanical penthouse. There it is. So whenever you're ready.
Hello, members. Kyle Dubell here with Phase 3 Real Estate Partners. We're coming before you this evening to discuss potential mechanical improvements to the 12 Farnsworth building, which is currently owned by Bentall Green Oaks. We're working with them on a partnering consulting basis to help see through the potential repositioning. And we're here tonight to discuss some of the mechanical improvements to the roof, discuss sight lines and any impacts to the historic nature of the building.
Thanks, Kyle. I'll jump in. Good evening, Commissioners. Erin Doherty with Epsilon. As Kyle mentioned, the project is related to the repositioning of the building from office to accommodate some research and development uses. So the majority of the proposed work that you'll see is related to rooftop mechanical additions. With also some minor modifications to the loading dock at the rear of the building to accommodate the new program. The team has carefully designed the rooftop additions to minimize their visibility from surrounding streets within the landmark district. And we've prepared a short presentation followed by some renderings of the proposed equipment from various vantage points surrounding the building. We also prepared a mock-up of the rooftop equipment, which we had constructed ahead of the August hearing, and it's remained in place until now. So hopefully all of you have had an opportunity to see that. The mock-up really confirmed what we saw in the renderings, which was very limited visibility of the installation from street level. However, at the time the mock-up was constructed, some additional safety railings were added, in particular at the rear edge of the building. Those are not part of the proposed project. So if there are any questions about exactly what was the mock-up and what were the safety railings, we do have a set of photographs documenting the rooftop mock-up as installed. And we're happy to run through those at the conclusion of the presentation if there are any questions on that. But with that introduction, I will pass it over to Michael Boone from Perkins & Will, and he will be taking us through the presentation.
Great, thanks, Erin. Good evening, everyone. Just have a few slides here to run through, shouldn't take too long. We can dive right in. As it was mentioned, it was a fairly minimal scope of work. So here we have just our sort of location map here. Just as you can tell, the site's highlighted in red here, just east of Congress Street on Farnsworth. If we go to the next slide here, we'll have a more deep dive into here to a site plan. As mentioned, there's a minimal amount of alterations we're proposing at the loading dock area at the rear, but otherwise everything else is existing on the exterior. If you want to go to the next slide, I think we have a zoom in here of that area. On the left shows the existing conditions for the loading dock, and on the right shows what we're proposing. Essentially, it's really just bumping that existing loading dock out about a foot to align with an existing curb line there that's already there. And that'll allow us to get a new ramp in there instead of stairs to allow easier access to getting materials in and out. And then just below that plan south, there's an existing wooden stair that's fairly dilapidated and needs to be replaced. So we'll be replacing those in kind with a galvanized metal steel stair to match the ramp construction. So if we go to the next slide, and this is just the bottom of the page, here's an elevation of that rear facade. You can see where the ramp is, and to the right of that is that little stair that we're replacing. And the pictures up there on the top are just the existing conditions there. So you can see the existing loading dock, that curb line we'll be aligning it with. The ramp will come down from that point just before that door to the right there. And that sort of weeded area in front of that dark door, there's the dilapidated wood stair that we'll be replacing. We can go to the next slide. And as far as the exterior is concerned, that's the only work that we're proposing. Everything else is existing. So this is just a shot of the existing facades here from the front and the rear. And we've got a couple of the existing blueprints there from Boston Archives that we've added just for reference. We can go to the next slide. And then on the rooftop, we'll be adding some new rooftop equipment. You can see here, this is just the existing conditions, sort of a sectional, couple sectional diagrams through it. There is some existing equipment up there now, a couple of air handling units, condensing units that are on dunnage, as well as some duct work. But we'll be replacing that with new equipment, which you can see on the next slide. Yeah, so these are a couple same sections with some of the new equipment shown. Essentially, air handling units, some condensing units, and a couple of exhaust stacks located centrally there on the rooftop. And surrounding that, you'll see a sound wall, a sound barrier wall. We can see it a little more clearly in some of the plans here that I think we have in the next slide. If you would go to that, we can take a look. So on the left is the existing roof conditions and the existing equipment. You can see the dark boxes there. Those are the head houses that exist. We'll be proposing to repair in kind. The two, one is up on the upper left, plan left, and then the north, plan north right there in that upper corner. So we'll be replacing those in kind to handle the new ductwork that you see on the right in the proposed plan that'll be tying into the one on the left. And then on the right, we will be repairing the existing roof head house there for a new freight elevator system.
And on the right is that L shape there that's at the lower right corner. Is that the acoustical wall that you're talking about?
It is, yep, Dave. That's the acoustical wall. And then there's another wall at the upper part of the plan there, that dark line that runs along the boundary.
And how high up is the wall from the roof approximately?
Approximately 12 feet, I believe. So it aligns with the height of the equipment that it's surrounding.
Okay. So that's that's the part that I would like to see if there is visibility. You said you had some photos that maybe could show those angles later at the end of the presentation.
Yeah, we've done a couple of renderings, and then I think we do have some photos of the mock-ups here as well. But sure. If we can go to the next slide, let's take a look. So this is up on the upper left are some photos of what the existing conditions are, so those head houses that we're proposing to repair and replace in kind. So you can see they're in pretty rough shape. The exterior portions of those head houses are brick, so we'll be replacing it with brick to match. But then on the interior three sides, it's that sort of standing seam metal that's rusted out here. So we'll be proposing a standing seam metal to match as far as color and character.
And then just, Michael, if I could interrupt you
for one
second, I'm sorry. It doesn't necessarily have to be, new brick. We can take the bricks down, number them, and place them back brick for brick also.
Yeah, it's really the standing seam metal that we need to replace because it's in such rough shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the top of those are some skylights that we're going to try to maintain and salvage as well. And then on the bottom here, you see we've done the sightline studies from the angle there at the back end of the Sleeper Street property to the left, and then across the street from Farnsworth. So we do have some renderings here, which you'll see. We've done our best to sort of put all of this equipment towards the center of the roof, especially the larger pieces. There's very minimal visibility, if at all, from the angles we'll be showing. So if we can go to the next slide, this is where we get into some of the street views. If we've got time, we can run through these. Again, this is just a location map showing where some of the angles we took here, the local streets and passageways. And then we have just the existing conditions. So this is across from Farnsworth, looking at the front facade. If we go to the rendered view, there's no visibility here of any of that equipment. We can go to the next view. We're working west on Farnsworth Street here. We can go to our rendered view in the next slide. There should be no visibility here. And then to the next slide, which is pushing even further. I think this is right at the corner of Congress Street. We can go to the rendered view. You shouldn't have any visibility from this angle. And I think we have one more all the way across Congress Street, which you can just see our building there in between the two, and no visibility here. If we go to the next views here, this is on the, I guess, the public alleyway here, just across from Farnsworth Street. We'll go to the next rendered view here. I think this is where, Dave, you might just see the top of that sound wall, if you can see that sliver there. So that's the one point which you would see that. And then if we go to the next view, so we get a little closer here, we can take it up the next slide here. You see the top of the sound wall, maybe just the very top of that exhaust stack from this particular angle. And then if we can run to the next slide here, we start working further east on Farnsworth. We can go to our render view. You don't have any views here of any of the equipment. And then in this angle here, that tree was nicely placed, but I think in the next view, we took it out in our renderings and we still don't see any of the equipment up top. And then once again, to the next version here, we're starting to work our way around the back towards the Sleeper Street side. If you go to our rendered views, there's no views here that you'll see. And then if we go, I think, to another view here, all the way across from the parking lot, again, trees here. But if we go and we look, we'll see just, you can see on the head house that pops up there, that's the one that we'll be replacing. You just see sort of some ducks that dive in at that point there. But if we go to the next slide, you'll see, you know, there is an as of right here to build out this at some point, this property here. We've just sort of masked in what that potential build out would be. So that would block any of the view sheds from this angle. And then we can go, I think we have one more view here as we start to go in that shared alleyway and the working our way back east in the backside of the building here. And there's no view to any of the equipment at this point. I think that's all we have.
All right. Thank you. I'm glad you're doing this acoustical wall. I don't recall having dealt with this before in any of these buildings, with having an effort made to keep the sound down, which I think is great. And that sound wall is going to be made of what's the material on it?
Yeah, it'll be similar to like the standing seam metal look, Dave, with a color that's going to try to match what's up there now.
So it'll be a gray, like a medium gray or something, or so.
Yeah. Yep. Something to blend in.
Yeah. The intent would be the little bit that you do see, it fades away into the background.
Okay. All right. Regarding the other parts of the presentation in terms of the ramp, I think that's fine. The ramp is going to be galvanized, did you say, a metal? Yeah, and then the same with the stairs, that you're replacing the wood stairs with a galvanized. And are you changing the walkway at all that goes behind it? I think it may be shaped a little differently if I saw the rendering, right?
No, we're not planning on doing anything to that.
No changes there. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Do any other commissioners have any thoughts on this?
Could we just, I'm sorry, just back up a couple of slides. There were just the ones that where you could actually see some of the wall. I kind of flashed through them really fast and it didn't make much of an impression. So, but I just would like to kind of glimpse that again. Okay.
I think if you get right there, yeah, there's an angle right there. You just see the very top of that wall and maybe the exhaust stack there.
And the exhaust. Okay. And then back a few more. There was one other view I thought that we could sort of make it out.
Yeah.
All right. That's existing. Yeah, this that guy, right? Is that yep. Is that the one?
Just yeah, the sliver of white there that you see up top.
A white, a little slice of white.
Very top of that sound wall. Yep.
Got it.
And this is taken from the alley, correct?
Right.
Yes. Yep.
Directly across from Flower, basically. Right. From Flower, kind of looking up the alley.
So yeah. the further you go back, it'll be eclipsed by the building, and then the closer you get to it, the parapet will. Height, while you're talking about that, the height of this acoustical wall, you said is going to match the height of the equipment, and that means it's 12 feet. Is that what I heard?
Yeah, so it's for the equipment that's generating the sound, right? That would be the air handling units. And those, I believe, you know, I'm taking the height from off of the roof here. Let me just see if I can. Yeah, it's a 12-foot wall. Correct.
Well, and that's the minimum height you can make it, you think, before and still have it be effective as a sound barrier?
Yeah, we had this run through by our acoustical consultants over at Ascentec, and this was the prescribed height to make the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I know this is it's minimally visible, so I don't think it's, to me, I don't think it's that much of an issue, but, you know, I'll leave it up to the other commissioners if they feel strongly about it.
Sorry, I probably missed this, but the actual material of the acoustic, of the sound wall, again?
Yeah, it's going to be metal look, right, to blend in with the rest of the equipment in the penthouses in the rooftop there.
Okay. Does it mimic any part of the... you know, the metal on the facade, the window frames, or any, or the canopy down at the ground level, does it look like that at all?
I think it's more going to mimic what's up there right now. You see with the existing headhouses that we're trying to repair, that sort of same look, if you will.
Yeah. So in reality, the color will be even a little bit deeper than what's shown there.
Yeah, right? It'll probably fade in a little bit more to the background. So the sky here is a little bit offsetting. Yep.
It'll be more of a gray.
Okay. Almost white, just highlighted.
In terms of its position,
cobalt like gray.
Yeah, and in terms of its placement to the parapet wall itself, or to the parapet, is that as far inland to the roof as you can get?
Yeah, it's just the way the equipment sort of sets up to try to get it. You know, we're trying to meet all the requirements of sound, visual, and then also air entrainment. So when you start to push all of these things around, you get about as tight as you can get with that arrangement.
Yeah. All right. Are there other thoughts or comments by the commissioners?
Yeah.
No? All right. I know it's a teeny bit visible. I don't think it's anything that's, intrusive. And the fact that it's going to be supply a lot of benefit in terms of its acoustical and masking some of the sound, I think is a good thing. So I would be inclined to accept this.
Maybe makes it a little more uniform across the way instead of seeing ductwork kind of like,
cleans it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. So hearing no other comments from the commissioners, then can we open it up to public comment? If I can get my handy dandy script here. There you go. All right. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can call *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov.
So there are no emails, but I see Sarah McCammon.
There are, yep. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah McCammon, Fort Point resident. I guess I have some more overall questions. One, I might kick to Tom, your knowledge of the neighborhood, but I think about, you know, always where our closest residents, and they would be on Sleeper Street. Does this impact them, Tom, at all, to from your knowledge of the neighborhood?
You know, based on the views that I'm kind of taking away from these pictures and renderings, I think not, honestly, Sarah. I mean, the Sleeper Street side is kind of the back of the building, and where that loading bay is, loading ramp is going to be repaired, which is definitely enough. I was kind of more concerned with the Farnsworth side and the view from there. And I think the noise, the sound wall is probably going to make the FP3 residents a little happier too, mm-hmm. as far as that goes.
And then also I was just thinking, because I'm very bad on perspectives and viewing that, what would they be seeing, if anything, on rooftops?
Yeah, not so much. It's a little bit of a jumble over on Sleeper Street anyway, with different kind of shapes and heights and so forth of the building. So you tend not to be drawn up to that particular perspective, in my experience. Mm-hmm.
And then I had a couple other quick comments. It looked like, so the tallest piece of equipment is around 20 feet off the roof. Is that correct?
Yeah, roughly. That's correct.
And then my overall comment that I started to say at the beginning was, I'm not sure of the year of this particular building, but this is the fourth building, and the other three being Boston Wharf buildings that are converting to life sciences. And I'm just a little concerned about, not that you all aren't doing a thoughtful job, but the overall impact of having these additional mechanicals and vibrations and all on these historic buildings. And I just am wondering, sort of beyond what you looked at for load and other engineering considerations, what analysis has been done to the impact on these, 100 plus year old buildings. And so that's my question on sort of the actual buildings themselves down, 50 years from now, having gone through this, repositioning from office to life sciences.
Yeah, Sarah, one of the things we have to do, if the research and development is contemplated, is those folks, the people that take tenancy at the building, they sometimes have equipment that is actually highly, highly sensitive to vibration. So not only do we have to consider vibration isolation measures under each piece of equipment, which actually is causes them to be a little bit taller. So this is, again, one of the reasons we go very deep into these studies is to make sure we understand that height so we can have these conversations here. But we also have to, in the building itself, inboard of it, do some stiffening to the timber to actually reduce the vibration of the overall building, just generally speaking. So when we come into these facilities and reposition them for potential life science use, we actually work very hard to shore up the internal structural systems to take some of that play out that's been in the facility, for its lifespan. So in effect, we're actually adding life to the overall building lifespan by some of the improvements we're doing. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Kyle. Does this building abut another historic building? Like, do you share a wall with whatever the next number would be?
Yeah, I believe that there is a party wall shared there. I don't know the historic nature of the other building or not, though. I couldn't answer that question for you.
Just might be a conversation to have with your neighbors to make sure.
Yeah, there's Bentall Green Oaks. Oak is the owner of the building, and a lot of those conversations have happened, but before we go much further with the public and anybody else, we like to meet with this group here, Fort Point, to make sure that they're okay with what we're proposing to do. It doesn't make much sense to go too far down the road if if Fort Point is not okay with our potential improvements.
And just one last quick plug for ground floor activation. Obviously, the Flower is a very popular, bakery. And it's important that we have some ground floor activation and not all these buildings get privatized along the first floor.
Whenever I visited the building, if I don't come home with a box of flower goodies, I get in trouble, I promise you. The flower is, to as far as we're concerned, we would love for them to stay there for as long as they're happy to stay. They're a great tenant.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners, for the indulgence of little off-track questions.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Anything else coming through? Any emails?
I don't see any.
No. All right. So can someone form a motion on this then?
I'll take a stab and move to accept the application as presented.
Okay. Second?
I'll second.
All right. Commissioner Garganian?
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Okay. Smilage?
Yes.
And Rohde?
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thanks, guys.
All right. The next application is number 22.0271. It's at 308 Congress Street. And the proposed work is to install two new graphics at the roof garden.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Amy Auerbach. Thank you for having us here to be able to present this the next phase of this project. We were here in August, just to remind you about the green, the mini Fenway Farm project that we're working on with the Red Sox. And tonight, I would like to pass on to Dave Friedman to tell you a little bit about it.
Thank you so much, commissioners. Just briefly, want to thank you. It's good to be back with you on this project the second time around for this phase. We appreciate your very thoughtful consideration of the earlier phase. And now Scott Winkler, the architect, will take you through the specifics of it. But as we explained the first time around, the Red Sox and the Red Sox Foundation are very happy to be supporting and helping to fund this exciting rooftop garden project that kids can see. You can grow vegetables and fruits on your own rooftop. And do it in a historically appropriate way that's good for this historic district and echoes historic Fenway Park. So with that, I'll turn it to Scott. I'm glad to answer any questions you might have for me later on.
Good evening, everyone. Scott Winkler from Westling Architects. As you as already heard, the application that we approved a month or so ago was for the construction, and you may notice that that's actually going on as we speak. That's nearing completion of the guardrail. And the last piece that we need your review and approval of is the exhibit graphics. As a reminder, this is a children's exhibit. The children will go out on this roof and they'll get to actually help grow vegetables, plant and grow vegetables, maintain and ultimately pick the vegetables. It's an opportunity for them to obviously learn about city, urban farming and sustainability while also getting to experience a little piece of Fenway Farms and Fenway Park. Let's go to the next slide and I'll show you quickly what we're proposing. So this is the essentially the existing view without the guardrail that was approved. And then the next view is a rendering showing the graphics. So the glass rail is on there, and then behind that you'll see that there's a brick wall graphic. So that there's two elements we're adding graphically to help the children think of this as Fenway Park. The first is the brick walls that we see at Fenway Park, and the second, of course, is the green monster. So if you go to the next slide, this is actually when you enter the Fenway Farm garden from the museum. This is what you'll see. So on the right again is the brick wall, the signage, and then the at the end is the green monster graphic. And then if you go to the next page real quick, just to help you understand the heights and sizes. So the brick wall graphic is the height of the guardrail, so 42 inches. And then it's the length of the glass wall that it sits in front of. So that's 331 inches. And then the green monster graphic is the height of the existing wall, which happens to be 67 inches, and the height of the and the width of the existing wall. which is 264. If you go back one slide, just to help you understand what these are. The graphic on the right is essentially a metal signboard that gets attached to the to some brackets that are already existing on the window mullions. And so we're able to do that in a non-invasive way that allows it to be replaced in the future if needed. And then the graphic at the end is actually the existing wall. If you look at the left and right end, and also at the upper part of this photograph, you might remember there's a wood textured or graphic panel system that is the facade. And so this sign is actually going to be just a vinyl letter, a vinyl sheet that gets applied to the existing materials. And so it is essentially, you actually will see little tiny seams that are hard to depict in this rendering, but it just gets applied to the existing, and that can be peeled off in the future if it ever either deteriorates or something different needs to go up there. But these are both essentially reversible things that are going up as part of the exhibit and will be modified in the future if needed.
All right. So is this rendering not showing the glass railing?
It doesn't. It does not show the glass railing on it. That's correct. And so those are on the left and the right to close off those open areas. The glass railing was added to the rendering before this. If you look at that, if you go back one slide.
Okay, yeah. So this brick wall, or what we're calling the brick wall, is it a sort of, is it like a vinyl decal or something you're adhering to the building, or what is that made of?
It's a sort of a somewhat typical metal signage panel. So they're about a quarter inch thick, and it's obviously put up in pieces, but it gets attached to a tube that sits behind it that's attached to the curtain wall glazing. So it sits right in front of the window. It's not attached to the glass. It sits right in front of it.
Okay. So it's what you're covering up with this brick wall would be the glass that would go all the way down to the surface. Is that?
Yeah. Let's go to the image before this. You'll see the same view.
You're going to be, it's definitely going to be a visible element for sure. I understand the whole point of needing to bring brick in if you want to somehow emulate the look of Fenway Park. I do like the scoreboard thing that's visible as you enter the garden from the building. That's not at all visible from any vantage point outside on the ground. Is that
a little bit? If you go back to the forward one slide, you'll see that on the left there, you're getting a hint of it on this existing wall.
Okay, but very
from an angle. So,
yeah. I don't know. It's. I'd be interested in hearing what the other commissioners have to say. It is not a. It's not a historic portion of the building. Obviously, this is all new construction. So I think we wouldn't need to be quite as stringent on this, but I'd be curious to hear what others have to say about it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Could we toggle back to that first one, the as-is view again? I just need to understand. Okay, so that on the far left, that there is actually a wall there at the end?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, it sticks up as you see there.
Same, okay, and it's going to be the same height as the new green monster kind of depiction.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. It gets adhered to the back of that wall.
So what does the back of that look like?
It's a little hard to see, but it's this orangish, yellowish material, and it's a metal panel that looks like wood. It's not wood.
So it won't change what people see from the outside?
Correct, yeah, the front of it. Which you can't see here from the water, will not change.
But this brick panel, that will block views, obviously, from people inside the building out. I mean, and that's not our purview necessarily, but being 42 inches high, I imagine that will eclipse the views out to the garden from that part of the building.
That part of the building is actually a two-story entry atrium, so you can't stand on the back side of that glass.
Okay, I see.
And this is, of course, as you walk closer to the building, that sign will start to disappear. So if you go down one, we're standing across the street in this view. But as we get closer to the building, it is set back from the edge of the, from this edge of the wall. So that starts to make it, to hide it as you walk closer to the building.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure the architect of this addition, this new atrium that was added a little while ago, you know, it does, the brick kind of depiction does interrupt the kind of clarity and the verticality of that, design, if you will. And I mean, I happen to like that, that sort of very stark design, and very simple design itself. It fits very well in the neighborhood, but you know, it's also kind of cool. It's a very, evocative, rendering of the Fenway experience, if you will, in a very small, you know, sort of surface area. And in service of a great, I think a great goal, for kids and for just about anybody who's ever considered urban gardening.
So the reason to evoke Fenway is so people will know the Red Sox are responsible for this?
It's actually, this is called Mini Fenway Farms. And if you don't know, Fenway Park has Fenway Farms up on their roof.
Yes, it's wonderful. So, I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, and so not everybody can get to that. And so we're actually creating a miniature version of that. The same people that created and maintained that will actually be maintaining this one as well, and helping with the programming of it. So it's actually a sort of a satellite and smaller version of that. And so they're tied together and meant to act the same way at a children's scale.
I really like it.
Yeah. Can we switch to the view that you see when you enter the garden from the building, that sort of perspective view there? Yeah, this one here, this is what I want to see. All right, so that panel, the brick panel, it looks like it's kind of indented at one point, but I assume that's not. It's a flat plane all the way across.
Yeah, correct, it is a flat plane. We're essentially right at the face of those mullions, of the vertical mullions.
Yeah, I see. And then what are these decals on it? Is this advertising, or is it more informational as far as the program here?
It's information about this thing and who's involved. So they're meant to look like they're painted on the wall. Mm-hmm. And so all the way on the left is the Fenway Foundation, with the Red Sox logo, and then of course the Children's Museum, and then the Fenway Farms, which is they have their own graphic for the actual Fenway Farms, and then Green City Growers is actually the company that will do the programming and maintenance of this, so that when the kids are there, they'll be actually interacting with some of their plants and things.
So we're not going to see a big Coca-Cola sign at some point.
These are all nonprofits, right?
Yes, they are. Correct. They're all nonprofits.
Yeah. And to me, this really almost reads, it doesn't read as a permanent fixture. It reads more as art. I think it's really nice.
Yeah.
It's part of the exhibit. It's right. The graphics that would on an interior exhibit exist inside the museum, and of course this is an exterior exhibit, so those things are here visible to the public.
Yeah, and I assume that the Green Monster that's a static sign or a graphic that's not going to have lights or anything that's going to light up on it, or is it?
No, nobody inside the wall to change it when the score changes.
That would have been a good idea.
But actually, if you go to the next page, you'll see when you see an enlargement of it that it actually the opponent is the Boston Children's Museum, and then of course the Boston Red Sox, and the rest of it is obviously the standard. But it's all blank, so we're not going to be changing or using anything. It's just to remind you of Fenway Park.
Okay. And all this is reversible. I'm assuming the brick panel that could be taken off at some point.
It's just fastened to the tubes that are attached to the existing brackets, and so it's very easy to remove. And then the other one, as I mentioned, it's literally a sticker that peels off. And if there's ever a maintenance issue, it'll just get replaced in kind.
Yeah.
Can I just toss out one idea and see what the other commissioners think about this, but it, I mean, I understand the need for having, you know, kind of some sponsorship, you know, visuals on the brick wall. Is there any thought given to maybe making them a little bit smaller? Because right now they're, that looks like around 3 feet high, each one of them, maybe 4 or 5 feet wide. I don't know. Just it would make perhaps that whole graphic a little less intrusive, either from the street or also, I don't know, from the museum goers, you know, standpoint. It's like, we kind of, we're not quite into the Coca-Cola sign realm here, but gee, it's awful.
Rather than reducing them in size, which I think might look odd, perhaps they could read more like ghost signs.
Like what signs?
Like ghost signs. So they would be, because they're to look like they were painted.
So like screen back the depth of color.
Screen them back, yeah.
Yeah, and so these logos are actually the same ones that exist at Fenway Farms, except that the Boston Children's Museum was obviously added, but these are very similar to what's on the painted on the wall at the actual Fenway Farms.
So Lynn, you're suggesting to have it be almost like a lighter value, so that
yes,
it right. has more of
like a look, ghost sign,
which so like maybe weathered,
it's a kind of like it's faded, it.
Like it's yeah, faded,
weathered kind of look, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the most obtrusive parts of these logos are the white areas on
bright
farms.
White, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If they could just be pushed back, so they looked more like a remnant, you know?
Right. Is there a way to make them be, you know, appear more like they have been painted on a brick wall versus having it be like a white decal that's, you know, adhered to this panel?
Yeah, that's the intent. This may not show it, but the existing ones are painted on real brick. And so we're right. trying to have, so there'll be some indication that, you know, there'll be a brick pattern on those ones that are more white where the all pattern right. of the brick will show through. Even though
I think
it's not
that's
really
the goal that we're talking about is to have it really read as a painted graphic on actual brick. Because I assume that the panel, that brick panel, is not going to have a texture to it. It's going to be flat.
Correct. It's just a photograph of the actual.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I would say it sounds like if that's something that can be worked on, I think we'd like to maybe if we have a motion to approve this, that be a proviso that be looked at to make it more of a painted graphic versus a decal on the brick. So, all right. So if there's no other comments, we can open this up to the public comment. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to read this in. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov.
It does not look like we have anyone interested in public comment.
Okay, great. All right, so if someone would like to make a motion on this.
So I'll move to accept the application as presented with the proviso that the graphics be screened back so that they are give the appearance of fading. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that wording sounds good, or just to make sure that it feels more like a painted surface on brick rather than a stark bright decal or so. And a little bit of fade actually would be fine too. So just make it as realistic as possible, I guess, is what we're asking. So, all right. And do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. Commissioner Smilage.
Yes.
Gorganian?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
And chair votes yes. All right. Great.
Great. Thank you. Hopefully
thank
we'll
you
see
very
us
much.
Out there with the Red Sox soon,
all right.
opening it up.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. The next is application 22.0255 at 268 Summer Street. And the proposed work is to install a new blade sign and vinyl door graphic.
Hi, good evening. I'm here to represent that.
Okay. And just give your name for the...
Sure. It's Heather Dudko. I work with National Sign. That will be the sign installer. And I believe Hazel Hopkins, she submitted the application. She's my mother. I work with her together. So she was not able to be here tonight. So she asked me to step in.
Okay.
We believe that there was a previous Dunkin' Donuts blade sign at the same location, but we did not have a pre-existing sign, picture of that. So the proposal is to install this black and white blade sign, 4 square foot. It's an aluminum panel with vinyl lettering, and it will have the external, you can see the light bars, external illumination from the top. Okay. And then there's some door graphics on the entrance door.
And it's in this, it's on the middle pillar here, the middle?
Yes. Okay. It's a little hard to see with that front view.
Yeah.
But you can see the measurements as a 13-foot, 4-inch clearance. That you can kind of follow up. It goes to the bottom of the sign and you can see the little black mark there.
Mm-hmm. And there was a Dunkin' Donuts sign there at one point. I don't recall, but it was in that position.
Yeah.
Okay. And the material is what, metal?
It's aluminum with vinyl graphics.
All right. And is this going to be something that's going to be, you know, it looks like a banner or a flag. I'm wondering, is it going to be something that the wind will kind of...
No, it's a permanently installed sign with a bracket. And we do have a side view. I think maybe the next picture. Kind of hard to see. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
So it is intended to be a permanent structure installed on the building.
Oh, I see. It has some thickness to it then. It's like 2 inches or something.
2 inches, correct.
Yeah. All right. I was thinking it was just a flat panel.
Oh, no. It has a little dimension.
Well, I don't have an issue, but I've, you know, if the other commissioners do. I know the one thing we always do ask for and or actually require is that the bracket that is used to hold it to the building, that it go into the mortar joints and not into the brick faces at all.
Okay.
So that would need to be designed to fit a module of the brick so that it penetrates the mortar joint.
Okay.
And also one other question while I'm out here. So then the power is coming from that. Is that what I was reading here? The conduit? Is there existing conduit there now or not?
You know, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Because that, it's kind of small here. I can't.
I know. I apologize. The drawings are very tiny.
That note right there. Yeah. What is that note? Okay. There it is. Here. So that's the electrical route that is obviously going to go through the brick. I don't know if there's any other alternative to doing that.
Could we go back to a couple of the as is? Photographs again. I don't know if you can see what was there.
Not really.
Man. I'm trying to remember what the Dunkin' sign looked like.
Does anyone remember if the Dunkin' sign was lit?
As I recall, it was not, David. But you know, memories fail.
Yeah, I just
because it was weird at night, you just wouldn't see it, you know. That's kind of the thing that I seem to remember about it, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it doesn't look like there's any conduit there, does it? I mean,
no, it's hard to see, but I doubt it. I'm just trying to think back on how we've dealt with this in the past on other signs. If conduits required, how we would have them snake it through. These are pillars to the building, right? They're not, it's not a building wall on the other side, or is it? In other words, the doors are recessed back.
I do apologize. I was not involved with this from the beginning.
All right.
So if you scroll down to the picture that has the vinyls, the door vinyls, it shows a little better, not much, but a little better about you do walk through. So the doorway is recessed. But if you look to the left, I don't know if that's an actual pillar or if that's a full wall there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, so this actually, now that we're on this, this is another part of the application as well as the wall graphic or the window graphic here?
Yes.
And that's just the one graphic on one window panel? It's not
on the door.
On the door, okay.
On the door.
Is that your phone number? Wow, how did you get that?
No.
All right, so what do the other commissioners have any feelings about this electrification matter? We feel that it's something that we could allow or not.
But who's going to actually install the sign and do this work?
National Sign.
Mm-hmm.
So Everbright is the sign manufacturer for the client, and National Sign in Berlin, Connecticut, in North Attleboro, Mass. Is the local installer.
I mean, The one thought I had is that sometimes the conduit looks really very intrusive and I mean, I know we really aren't all about drilling through brick to get power to a sign, but I mean, maybe it's less intrusive if mm-hmm. you do so.
I mean, I tend to agree. There's no way to snake it through or you know,
around.
The side.
Maybe.
I think whatever the solution is, somebody has to see it. Like, even if the staff is comfortable with it and we're comfortable with the staff seeing it. I mean, I think we need to know what the plan is.
I was just going to suggest that. I mean, we can go back to them and they just need to make it clearer what their intention is on how to light it and how to run the power and how they'll do that.
Yeah, to mount it.
Yep.
And how to run the power.
I think that's a very reasonable request to ask them to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's because that's a big, you know, it's going to make a mark, so to speak, on the building.
Yeah.
And if this sign goes away at some point, then we're going to be left with that scar.
And if there's some existing, if the Dunkin' Donuts was lit in some manner and there's some existing condition there that they're going to use, they need to explain that.
Yeah. All right. That sounds reasonable. But regarding the size of the sign, it looks to me appropriately scaled for the building as I look at those renderings. So I don't really have an issue with that. And it's black. So it's not going to be, you know, this in your face kind of a graphic, which is good. But any other thoughts that the commissioners have?
So would that be, once we can gather the paperwork, we can just submit that and staff can review, or would you like us to come back for a next meeting?
Well, it's up to the commissioners, but I think it's probably something the staff could review. I mean, they know certainly as well as we do the reluctance to have penetrations in brick that aren't necessary.
Okay.
If the other commissioners are agreeable to that, we can have it be a staff review.
Okay.
I'd agree.
Yeah. Me too.
Okay. Great.
All right, so let's do the public comment thing. And so members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions or provide public comment on the application and discussion. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And I see there's one hand up here, Joshua.
Yep, good evening, Joshua Johnson. I guess just a point of note for the commission. There is the ability in Google Street Maps to go back in time. And it looks like based on a July 2017 screenshot from there, it looks like the previous sign was illuminated.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, if the presenter wants to try and pull it up now or do it at a future meeting, that may help with the illumination of the sign. So there could be existing electrical conduit there, which may help the proponent.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. I think that's a good observation. And I think what we would ask the applicant then is to utilize the existing electrical connection, however that might have been made, rather than do something completely new.
Okay.
But then again, I think it's something that the staff could then look at. So when the sign company does their investigative work about how they are going to do this lighting, they should also then look and see where, if any existing electrical or conduits are there, and have that show up on a drawing that they might present to the commission.
Okay.
So.
Absolutely.
All right. And I assume there's no other questions coming through?
Not that I can see.
Okay. All right. So if somebody would like to make a motion on this. Anybody?
I'll make a motion that the application be approved as submitted with the proviso that it sounds like there's existing conduit that can be utilized, and that plans for the installation will be submitted to staff for their approval.
For file. Okay, great. A second?
I'll second.
All right. Commissioner Rohde?
Vote yes.
Okay, Gorganian?
Yes.
Mileage?
Yes.
And chair votes yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thanks.
All right. The let's see. The last one here is application 22.0211 at 22 Boston Wharf Road. And the work is to relocate an existing entry door, install new metal clad canopy with non-illuminated signage.
Hi, good evening. I'm Andreas Romero at Davis Square Architects, and thanks for the chance to present. I'm presenting for Boston Dental, who is a proposed tenant for a first floor space in this building. And I'll start off just by noting that the relocation of the door that we mentioned in the summary there, that's, I just found out that's already been approved by you folks. And I understand that that work is already completed. So the reconfiguration of the entry door itself, that's been done. It's not really part of this application. What we're seeking approval for is really just the entry canopy above that entry and the tenant signage that they're proposing along that facade. Do we have the slides available? Great.
If yeah, so just let me know when to scroll.
Next slide, please. So existing building 22 Boston Wharf, I'm sure you're all familiar with it. It's a fairly recent building, parking garage with some office space on the first floor and on the upper floors. The building itself doesn't really have any sort of overt historic detail, but you can see the massing sort of lines up with the adjacent historic buildings. Next slide, please. This is the existing tenant space there at street level. You can see that the tenant space has their own entry directly to the sidewalk. The facade is sort of divided up into these bays that have kind of a combination of storefront and then the metal spandrel panels above it. Next slide, please. This is just a view of the existing entry to the building. And you can see that the existing entry, it has a canopy, a pretty good size canopy sort of marking the entry, in the same gray metal cladding that's used throughout the building. And it's got a pretty good sized sort of a monument type sign incorporated into the building with some illumination to it for the building address. Next slide, please. This is another view, the entry to the parking garage. Once again, you can see another entry canopy there. just for context and to get a sense for the canopy that we're proposing, how it kind of fits in. Next slide, please. This is a rendering of the proposed canopy. You can see the two entry doors there that have been approved already. The entry canopy, it's being inserted into the masonry bay. So we're not reconfiguring any of the existing masonry there. It's really being applied to the storefront itself. The storefront itself and the spandrel panel behind it, all of that is existing to remain. The structure for the canopy is concealed inside the canopy, and it sort of extends to the inside of the building where there's some steel structure to support it. So it's really cantilevered. There are no brackets or no cables supporting it. The canopy itself, it protrudes about 3 feet, 8 inches from the facade of the building. So it is less deep than the adjacent main entry canopies. And the material of the canopy itself is the same gray metal that's used throughout the rest of the building. So it kind of blends in with the existing materials of the building. The existing kind of horizontal fin stays above it. So it's really kind of, we're keeping all of the existing elements that are in that bay. The underside of the canopy, it is clad in a translucent acrylic frosted panel, and it's got some backlighting to it. So the intention there is to provide a little bit of a soft glow underneath that canopy. It's not really intended to kind of brightly illuminate that entry area. It's really just to provide a little bit of a glow there to give some presence to the tenant entry there. And the remainder of it is really just the tenant signage, which is applied to the surface of the canopy. And it's also being applied to the adjacent metal panels that border the top of the storefront. If you move to the next slide, please. Okay. Well, there's a section. Not sure why that slide wasn't showing up. This is just a detail of the canopy itself. You can kind of see how it's supported from behind the existing storefront. I'll just kind of briefly describe the rest of the signage. At each, if you go up to the rendered view.
I can go, let me switch to pull up the presentation another way so we can see that rendering, I think.
Great, thank you. The remainder of the signage is applied lettering, and it's being applied to the surface of the existing metal that is above the storefront windows in each of those bays there. I believe the signage, and I understand that the actual sort of the text and the logo, I believe it's still in development. My understanding is that it simply says Boston Dental at the front of the canopy. And then I believe there is a logo at the side of the canopy. And then there is, once again, the Boston Dental. There we go. Thank you. For a second, we could see the the additional signage.
Difficulties, like I attract them or something. Here we go.
Perfect. Thank you. The latest image that I've seen does not include any applied decal to the glass itself. So it's really just the signage that's applied to the metal above the glazing in each of those 5 bays there. And that's the extent of it. None of the signage is illuminated. The only illuminated element is really the bottom of that proposed canopy above the entry doors.
Yeah, the section actually answered one of the questions I had, and that was how are you handling the drainage? And it looks like that's going in, being piped back into the building and out, so there won't be any visible gutters or anything.
That's correct. Yep, it sort of drains internally back through the storefront.
And the actual surface material again on this canopy is the same as the metal panel that's existing there now?
That's correct. We're going to match it so that it blends in with the rest of the facade.
I mean, it looks very simple. It just looks like a portion of that gray panel has just been pulled forward and has a nice sort of minimal appearance to it, which I think is appropriate for this building anyway. I don't have any other thoughts about it, or if any of the other commissioners want to express something.
Just one thought. I agree that I think the canopy is just really nice and stark and simple. That just really kind of nails it in terms of just an overall graphic and how it fits with the rest of the facade. Boston Dental, Boston Dental, Boston Dental, Boston Dental.
Yeah, that's my question.
I just can't do it. I'm sorry. And the decal, it's like the message of this neighborhood is, you know, you get it once. That's all. That you get it. You get the message once. And repetition, no matter how, you know, sort of stark and simple it is too much. So I mean, we've come across this with the bank facades, where they've just got too many signs, you know, saying the same thing over and over again. And that's really bothersome to me.
I mean, that's a good point. I know the tendency is often for the tenant to want to have the signage mark sort of the territory that they control, you know, and so the need to have every window that's within their space identified. And I don't think that's necessary at all. You've got this very prominent canopy with the name on it, and I think that's sufficient, really. I don't think it's
cooler, you know, like,
right,
you're gonna want to go to Boston Dental if you don't hit me over the head with it, you know. Sorry.
Plus, I just want to ask, did you say that they're still working out what the exact lettering is going to be?
That's correct. Yeah, I think the lettering self, I think they're still tweaking that. I saw an additional image just today from them that had a slightly different graphic for the canopy. It's very similar to what we have here, but I think they had their locations shown in essentially the same text, but just the content was a little different.
Because, I mean, if we're approving this, then we're approving this and not something else, right?
Right. I mean, that's typically, so if they're proposing something that's going to be a departure from what we're looking at here, that's going to be a bit of an issue. So I don't know where they are.
Understood.
Their thoughts.
Could I suggest resubmitting if I can get some shop drawings for the actual signage itself? Resubmitting those when the tenant has finalized the actual content of the graphic.
Yeah, I think we got that has to be looked at for sure when it's finalized. And then this lettering is going to be what is the actual material that's going to be adhered to the surface of that metal?
That's correct. It's raised lettering in black, and I think it's raised probably about sort of quarter inch, half inch or so it's fairly shallow.
And is that metal also the lettering?
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I don't know if the other commissioners really that you know they would want you to come back. I think it's something that could have a staff review of it. And I think that they would, you know, they would know what we're looking for to obviously have any change that is made for the graphic and the font and the amount of area that you're taking up on that forward band, you know, that it stay sort of within what you're showing here. You know, certainly we don't want to see any of the lettering protrude above or below that band, the canopy width. It all should stay within the width of the canopy itself.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and retain that kind of minimalist feel of the font you've got here now.
Right.
Yep.
And only over the doorway and not the other windows.
The windows.
Stuff on the windows.
I see. Okay. Can I?
That may be a big problem, but it just is really.
No, there's no need for it.
You really. I think it almost takes away from the appeal of the facade. One man's opinion.
So just to understand, is it the repetitive nature of the Boston Dental being repeated? Would it be acceptable if the text were any different, or is it just the fact that we are having signage of any sort in each of those bays?
Yeah, it's the numerous signs. Yeah, the number of signs that you have for the same establishment is something that we you know, try to get the applicant to minimize. And
got it.
So
particularly all on the same facade. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're on a corner and you're trying to do something on the other side. This is all. Yeah. If they see the one over the door, they'll know you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Just out of curiosity, these vertical black bands on either side, are those light fixtures there? Do you know?
I don't believe there are existing light fixtures there.
I was just curious.
I'm sorry. There are existing light fixtures there. Honestly, I'm not sure what they propose to do with those. I think they may be relocating those to the new entrance location.
I'm sorry. So you think that that is something that's being added or being subtracted from this entry?
They have existing vertical light. If you go back one or two slides, I think you can kind of see them there. There are.
Oh, it is the light fixture. It looks like. Yeah, it looks like.
That's right. Yeah, and those are existing.
Yeah.
With the relocation of the entry, those two fixtures that flanked the old entry location, I don't know if the building owner intends to relocate those to the new entry or if they've already done that. I'm not sure what the status is there.
Yeah. Well, it would be good if we knew this.
It
looks
confirm.
Like they probably are adding, if there are vertical black bars on this is the new entry. Obviously they're introducing it to this, right?
They look different than, like, they're an entirely different placement.
Right. They're longer.
Right. And,
oh, and you can see them.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yes, you can see them in
right.
That.
Right. Yeah.
So you will need to provide that sort of information to us about the lighting.
I would have thought that would have been part of the original application to move the door, but.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to need to see what that fixture is. It's too bad that we've been.
Okay.
And then also, too, if they're going to be removing any of the other fixtures, because it looks kind of strange to have that existing fixture there now floating in that column bay there.
With no visible purpose. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So they just need to clarify that. And you know, I think the commissioners probably would like to see what's being proposed there. So maybe that's suggesting now that you would need to come back. Is that?
David, we'll go back and see what was approved in May. Maybe it was part of the proposal in May. We'll go back and look at that.
All right. Thank you. All right. So barring any other comments, let's open this up to the public. And I don't have my script. There we go. All right, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussion. So do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And we'll just wait a bit. It's this. I don't think so.
Joshua.
Oh yes, Joshua. There. Go ahead.
Yep. Great. Thanks. Just question. Do you plan on any other signs? I noticed a large multi-story vinyl banner has been placed on the side of the building for maybe a different tenant. Do you plan on placing any other large signs on that side of the building as well?
I'm not aware of any plans for additional signage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you were, that would need to be part of the application if you were, or if your tenant is planning something like that. So,
okay.
You might want to ask them that and make sure that they present that. So, all right. Is that it, Joshua?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
All right.
And we don't have any email comments, so I believe that's it for public comment.
Okay. All right. So if somebody would like to form a motion, I know that we kind of went around here a little bit.
I'll take a stab at it. I'd move to accept the application as presented with the provisos that the signage that are being proposed to be applied to all the other bays, the other four bays, not be approved. And that any changes to lighting, facade-based lighting, if you will, that in fact does need to be brought before the commission.
All right. The graphic itself was, if that's going to be modified from what we were presented tonight, that could be a staff review.
That, what he said.
Yeah. Yes. All right. So I guess what I want to be clear on is, are we asking them to come back to us or not? And that anything could be handled by the staff.
Well, I mean, it seems to me if they're going to mess with the lighting on the facade, that has to be a separate application and has to be presented. So, I mean.
All right.
Unless we learn that it was part of the original application.
That's correct. But thank you.
So Joe, if you find out that those, whatever that vertical bar is, if that was something that was approved on a previous application, then I would say that they would not need to come back to us, but they could come back to you with the graphic changes that they might make to the lettering.
That sounds good to me.
Okay. All right, so do we have a second on that?
I'll second.
All right, Commissioner Gorganian?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
And Smilage?
Yes.
And the chair votes yes. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Good evening.
All right, is that it? Yes, that's it. All right, so then the next item is the ratification of the August 12 hearing. Do we have a motion to accept those minutes?
Sure, move to approve the minutes.
All right, and the second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. All right. Any staff updates?
Have any, Gabby, do you have any?
No, we saw Mary.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep. She came in like 2 weeks ago with Thomas, and he's so cute. so it was nice to see her and the baby as well. But I don't have any like real updates.
That's great.
That's pretty real.
That's an important update. Thank you.
Yeah. I agree.
I guess one thing I'd ask, I know, well, it was discussed because of what happened last time, last meeting, but is there any movement at all on getting these vacancies filled?
We've met with our new chief and she seems very supportive, especially to work with Fort Point first to get some of these vacancies filled. So
that may be because I told her that it was, she lives in my building. I told her it was a problem.
So, and I think Nick has reached out to some people who were interested in the past. So hopefully we'll be getting some movement on that.
Yeah. How many are we short?
One, I think.
Just one?
Yeah. The alternate is a vacancy. Yeah.
For the neighborhood.
Right.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, now thank you, Sue, for that, for your connection to this.
Oh, yeah. It's helpful that I be able to just say, you know what?
Can you talk about this? You're on the inside track. Thank you.
Now that you're mentioning it. Yeah.
So, all right.
There's a vacancy for the regular commissioners as well.
Oh, there's always vacancies there.
Okay. All right.
I thought there were at least two. Yeah,
there's a bunch of vacancies.
Yeah, there's one for the regular and one for the alternates.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Hopefully, that'll go a little faster, but I'm not going to hold my breath on it. But all right. So if there's no other updates, we can have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I move to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. All right.
Thank you, everyone. Bye, everybody.
Good to see your faces.
Yeah, same here.
Take care.